Welcome to Pants Not Trousers, a podcast for expats looking for belonging and connection in a foreign land.
And we're your hosts, Sarage and Raheel. We are two expat women who've left their lives behind in the US and Canada to experience expat life in the UK. Raheel, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. It's been a busy weekend. Yeah, we're just plugging away, trying to find a removal company. I can't remember if I talked about this last week, but removals is the word for a moving company.
Yeah, that always threw me off because I was like, removing sounds like a junk collection.
Yeah, I want my stuff back.
Yeah, don't just remove it. Give it back to me.
Don't just take it. Yeah, it's not pest removal. It's just, yeah, it's my furniture. So we're basically looking for a moving company and trying to coordinate that with storage because between when we get our house and have to be out of this house, there's a 3-week gap. So right. That's a lot of coordination, just trying to gather estimates and stuff. And I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, but I had to get some blood tests and stuff done for that last week. Unprecedented, but you know, I have to say it's remarkable how quickly sometimes the public health care system here works. I called in for a consultation with the GP. Mm-hmm. And they're still doing them virtually or over the phone at the moment. And she's like, well, I can add you to the cancellation list today. And while I was still on the phone with her, the GP was calling on the other line.
Oh, wow. That is
super fast. And then I got a blood test for the next day, an appointment for tomorrow, which would be a week later, which gives it time for the blood test results to come in. So I'm very impressed with the healthcare system here, but I'll have to report back to next time we talk because I'm getting my first pap smear in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard some horror stories from other expats. It's not done the way we do them at home. You don't have, well, I mean, a pap is never exciting or fun. Let's
never
be real.
Never a pleasant experience. Yeah.
But at home, like I'm used to my GP doing it and hopping up on a table and having a sheet to cover me and being in a robe. You know, those paper robes, not anything fluffy and fun like a spa, but I believe it's very no
paper
frills.
Paper robe is what you mean.
Yeah, paper robe. But I believe it's very no frills here. So I don't know. I'll report back next week.
Okay. Let me know how it goes before I schedule mine so I can mentally prepare for it.
Yeah. How was your week?
Nice. Yeah, my week is good. My week was good. Busy and just running around. Running errands and stuff like that. And it's pretty crazy. We're planning for, it's still unknown, but in terms of exact date, but we're planning a trip back to Canada to visit family and friends. So we're really looking forward to that. And I'm just trying to cram everything in before we go. And one of the tasks was booking a dentist appointment for my son. He's 6 years old. He's seen a dentist once, and that was like 2 years ago in Canada before we got here. And then when I went to go see a dentist, like maybe 6-7 months ago, it was in the middle of the pandemic and I went for a particular reason. That was the only reason why I scheduled at that time. But my dentist came out he looked like he was going to outer space. He had like a gas tank attached to him. He had this massive like head covering. He had a hazmat suit on. It was like so frightening. I'm like, this is the last thing that I'm going to do is make an appointment for Adam to see the dentist like this, because I just don't want him to be, you know, terrified and scarred. Anyhow, so I made him an appointment. I took him, and honestly, he's sick, so I was like, okay, I guess I'll make him a dentist appointment just to check out his teeth. And his teeth are like, it's a disaster. He has a crater size cavity in his top right tooth. He's got some slight decay on like 3 or 4 of his other teeth. I was so embarrassed. She was telling me this, like she was giving me this long list of problems that she was seeing with his teeth. And I'm like, okay. So basically I just felt like the mother that never brushes her son's teeth or never makes him brush his own teeth and just feeds him sugar. So, because then we talked about throughout the appointment, like how much sugar he likes to eat. And I was doing it as a strategy to like turn him off of sugar, to ask the dentist to explain to him how bad sugar is for our teeth, et cetera, et cetera. And then she showed me the x-ray and she was like, oh, there's quite a lot of decay happening and there's this massive cavity, which I saw myself. I'm not a dentist, but I could see this massive black hole. And I'm like, is that a cavity? Anyhow, so I was really distressed by it, actually, I have to say. But then I was really put off by her, not her reaction, but her, she wrote down this like treatment plan. She's like, okay. And it was almost like she could see that I was upset. And she was almost like kicking me while I was down. She was like, okay, well, you know, his teeth are, they're just not in good shape. And he's got to do this, this, and this. And she was like 3 month fluoride coating, every 6 months cleaning. He's got to do silver caps on all of his decaying teeth to stop.
I'm sorry, silver caps?
Silver caps. Those like massive silver teeth, like whatever, covers, crowns.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, they don't do the white ones here.
can we go over some options? And I was like, is this, and she was saying it like, this is what you have to do.
Right.
And it was so off-putting. Anyway, I'm not going back there. And you should see this dentist office. I'm sorry. I know I'm going on for quite some time about this dental experience, but this dentist office was, I felt like I was going to a carnival. Their waiting room had this massive life-size pirate ship and all the walls were painted in ocean, like ocean with fish all around. There were these massive fish tanks. There was video games. I was like, can we come here and hang out on the weekend or am I coming to bring my son to the dentist? It was very bizarre. I was like, and I'm just weary of like places with a lot of bells and whistles. I'm like, am I paying for the dental work or am I paying for this like, you know, extravagant waiting room with like a prize at the end that comes down this like slot machine? I was just like blown away. I was like, this is a lot of fluff. This is a lot of fluff and I'm not even leaving happy. That's the thing.
No.
Anyways, that was my experience with Adam's second dentist appointment, but first in the UK. So
well,
we'll see what happens.
I hope your second referral is better. I do find that children's dentists are more fun. It's meant to ease the children. There's always like a train table wherever we've gone and like a fish tank and like tons of books and toys. And yeah, you're right. Lots of bells and whistles. My kids always got a toy that they got to pick out of the treasure chest at the end of their visit.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember doing that too in my very basic dentist office that was operated out of his house. It was nothing like this, but this is just a little over the top. And I think if I was happy with the service, I would have been like, oh my God, this place is amazing. But I was just like, oh, anyhow, that was that.
Yeah. Okay. If you didn't like her bedside manner, then for sure. Getting a second opinion is always a good idea. So I wanted to talk a little bit about fashion today because the weather
fun-ish.
The weather's turned. It's cool again. Oh my God, it's so nice. It was so hot when we were recording
last week.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah. So I'm back in my sweats and my t-shirts and I adapted to the West Coast uniform, if you will, very quickly. Like athletic gear all day, every day, basically.
Right.
And I find I get some judgy looks from other moms on the playground. I do. I get judgy looks or like, you know, sort of passive comments about like when I do dress up or when I put on jeans and a blouse or something and some lipstick, if I'm going somewhere, they'll be like, oh, well, you look, you know, smart today. And I can't tell if they're being sarcastic or what.
Yes.
Smart, by the way, means that you look nice, not intelligent in this country.
Right. As opposed to what? Smart is chic. Yeah.
But it's been a pandemic and I haven't been going anywhere. I just hang out at home cleaning my bathrooms or cooking. I don't want to wear nice clothes at home.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to get oil spatters on them. Or if I'm hanging out on the couch, I don't want a waistband to restrict how many snacks I can consume.
Yeah. So, yep. I hear you.
Yeah. I will say, like, I do find people here dress nice. They dress really, I like the way a lot of women dress. They love to wear dresses here with usually some kind of sneakers or trainers, as they call them. And the dresses have these beautiful prints. And I'm not used to wearing prints. Like I wear a lot of plain stuff, but people here really like their prints. What do you think about the fashion here?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that people, they try, not try too hard or try hard, but it's, I think they put effort into how they present themselves. And I actually really like that.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And they are very colorful. I find that the concept of matching is, it's not a thing here. Like, it's just not. You can have, I agree, trainers, sneakers, whatever you want to call them, of any sort goes with the floweriest, the most flowery dresses, most colorful dresses, and then they put it with like a pair of New Balance. And
yeah,
I think that's in general, but here it's very, it's very much an in thing. The 90s trend is, it's very big here, I find, especially with like the 20-year-olds. And I maybe that's everywhere, but this is just my frame of reference right now. But yeah, I think people do try, put a lot of effort here. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's a lot of effort. It looks, I think you said effortless, but it's kind of nice. And I'm influenced by that. Like I'm motivated by that. And I try to dress up a little bit every so often. I think it just, for me personally, it makes me feel good. I just feel like if I feel like I look decent, I just feel better. And I like the whole sweats thing, but I gotta say, even if I'm wearing sweats, I feel like it needs to match somehow, or it needs to be flattering. Because then, if I'm putting something frumpy on, I just feel frumpy, and then it changes my mood. So,
yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I do like to make an effort. I mean, I used to dress really nice when I had a corporate job, I had a reason to get dressed every day.
Totally.
And then I switched to working in a bakery, and everything would be covered in flour. So
of course,
I had to change that. And now when I'm going out, like if I'm going into Central London for something, I do put a little bit more effort and thought into what I'm wearing. Maybe I'll wear jeans and a nicer shirt and cute sandals or a nice handbag or something. But I would like to dress more effortlessly chic like people do here, and I don't know where to start.
Yeah, so I actually use Pinterest. I'm on Pinterest, as I'm sure many, many people are. And I will pin or save outfits that I like. And for me, it's just, it actually makes shopping easier, because when you go into a store, when you're shopping, you're bound to see things that you like, right? But then you start to ask yourself, well, do I really need this? And, you know, it just becomes a bit of a mishmash in your closet. This is by no means how I think people should operate. This is just how I operate, because I don't like to have tons of clothes in my closet. I like to have outfits that are easy to put together. So I like to maximize my wardrobe. So I feel like if I'm going to buy a blazer and it's going to allow me to wear a pair of pants that I don't have anything to wear with, then I feel like I've added value to my wardrobe and to my closet. So then I'll pin outfits with blazers, and then I'll just find different other ideas and different sort of looks that I'm going for. And I just find, I don't know, it just,
so do you,
first of all, it's fun. And second of all, it does help me put the look and the goal when I'm shopping into perspective.
Right. So I love that idea. I think it's fantastic. I don't know why I didn't think about Pinterest. I used to use it a lot when it first started, and then I totally stopped. But do you look at other people's boards for these fashion inspiration that you like pin, or are you usually like on a website or something and then pin that picture to your own board?
That's a good question. No, I think what I'll do is, and I don't know the ins and outs of Pinterest, but I will just see images and then I will save them to a board that I've titled outfits for going out, or outfits for day, or outfits for evening. So I have different boards that are called, that are based on what kind of outfits I'm looking at. And then I'll pin them to that board. So, and there are, I mean, there are a variety of websites and stuff like that, but, and
right.
it's obviously other people that are pinning. So it's other people's pins, but
got it.
Again, I don't know the mechanics of Pinterest, but it's something along those lines.
Cool. And then do you have any favorite stores here?
I do. I have, I really, really like, the brand Acne, Acne Studios, and it's a Swedish line, Swedish mm-hmm. brand. And Isabel Moran, which is a Spanish designer. And those are probably my two favorite. And they're like higher end. So I'm like always, I don't think I've ever bought anything there regular price. I'm always like on it during sales. And I'll find just like a few pieces that will maximize my wardrobe or that I feel like are staples. And then I don't mind spending a little bit of extra money on that. And
right.
when you find them during sales seasons, they're usually like 40 to 50% off. Mm-hmm. So Christmas time and now-ish, like
yeah.
July, August, it's like sale time right now, which is nice. Those are my two favorite. And then Sandro and Madge, which I don't know if they're the same company, but they're definitely similar. And every time I see a Sandro, I see a Madge just like one or two stores over. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, and that's a French brand. So, and Cezanne's a really nice brand as well. But yeah, those are sort of my favorites. What about you? Do you have any like go-tos?
I feel like I haven't really shopped since we moved here because it was wintertime and I was buying we moved here in the summer. I was too busy getting the house organized and finding a place to live, et cetera. When we first moved here,
yeah.
I bought a couple of sweaters or jumpers, as they like to call them here, because it was cooler than I was used to in California.
Right.
And
yeah,
I think I bought a new wool coat or something. And yeah. then the pandemic happened and
right.
I wasn't really leaving my house and I didn't really need to buy new clothes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't, and now I would like to, but I would like to get in shape. I'm trying to mm-hmm. get fitter, a little bit more toned, and I'm going to treat myself to some new clothes when I am, you know, trim
Lovely.
And lean.
Yeah. It's your goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I like the stores that you recommended. I'm always looking at places like And Other Stories. They
yeah,
usually have a lot of
too.
Things on
yeah.
sale, but yeah. I never get the sizing right. Or I love, what is the store that has like the oversized clothes?
Oversized clothes. What store doesn't have oversized clothes?
Their
seems
whole
to
brand
be the
is
thing.
Built.
I was trying on a jacket, like extra, extra small, and it was massive. I was like, what is going on? I don't know. It's an oversized store. I don't know.
Yeah, they're very, 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 it's very minimalist style, and it's very loose. And that's like the whole.
Is it Koss?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great store too. Yeah.
It is a great store, but everything is oversized. And I don't think it
yeah.
necessarily, I think it looks good on other people. I love the way this one mom at school dresses. She's very effortless. She'll
right.
always wear some really cute, trendy pants or a really nice jacket or something. But I
yeah.
just feel like I can't pull it off.
Oh, I bet you can. Honestly, every time sometimes I'll look at someone's outfit and I'll be like, that is such a fun outfit. And she's like wearing a cardigan with this like massive picture on the back. And then she's wearing like a flowery skirt with it. And then she's wearing like, you know, Stan Smith like sneakers or these
right.
like whatever, like really colorful New Balance. And it just
works.
It just works.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, if it works for her, it's probably going to work for anybody, including you.
Yeah. I saw a woman wearing some really nice jeans on the walk to school once. Like they were everything I was looking for. So I
yeah.
did stop her and compliment her on her jeans. I do think it is nice giving
that
compliments
nice.
Even to random strangers. Cause sometimes, I don't know, it makes you feel good if somebody says, you know, you look good.
Totally.
She did tell me where she bought the jeans from.
Okay.
But we were still in the middle of the pandemic and I wanted to go to the store to try them on and stuff.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I feel like when I'm out there walking around shopping and clothes and things, they are just in your face. It is like constant. It is crazy. And my husband and I always talk about how there's just endless shopping here. And there's so many areas, right? Like London's so big. There's so many areas. There's so many nice shops. And they're all so different. And I'm sure there's like so many designers, local designers, European designers that I've never even heard of that, you know, carry their brand here. And it's a little overwhelming. I mean, if you go to Oxford Street and Regent Street, and then there's Soho just around there, mm-hmm. there's a place called Liberty. And that's just sort of like it's like the nicest, most charming department store you could go to. It's almost a shame to call it a department store, but that's what it is. It's about six floors and it's got like every brand, and it's in like an old Tudor style building. And it's a beautiful shop and it's just really nice. And just that area surrounding it has all the big shops, and it's a very touristy area. So
yeah, Carnaby Street.
Everything. Pardon me?
Carnaby.
Yeah, Carnaby yep. Street as well. Yep. And of course there's Harrods, which is a famous shop that everybody goes to when they visit London, and London's pretty iconic to London. And Harvey Nichols, which is just fairly close to it, just pretty much across the street, and Selfridges. So those are sort of like the main ones that I've gone to anyways. I'm sure there's more, but yeah, it's pretty crazy, the shopping here.
It is. What I really admire, though, is the number of charity shops and the number of people that really
notice that
actually use the charity shops. Like, you'll find a lot of times if I like somebody's outfit, it's a vintage find. People here love to shop at charity shops. I love the whole idea of reusing items. And the other thing I really admire in people here, and maybe they do this at home, just not in my circle of friends, but people are really into mending their clothes and using embroidery or other techniques to extend the life in their clothes. And I just love that. They're not, the people that I've met aren't really into fast fashion as much as they are at home. And they're really into prolonging the life of their goods and just reusing by going to charity shops. I love it.
Yeah, totally, totally. And the charity shops are very, like, they're explicit about the charity that it's going to. So the storefront will actually have the sign of the specific charity, which is great, because then you know it's like there's like a direct link. It's not just general, like, charities in general. It's devoted to one specific cause. Exactly. And I do agree, there are a lot of secondhand stores. And that's like a whole other thing that I haven't gotten into, but I know that it's a lost opportunity. I know it is. I just feel like I should probably educate myself more about secondhand shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm used to shopping off the rack, but this is definitely something that I admire about people here, and something I'd like to get into, just because, you know, you do want to save the landfills a little bit, and what a great way to do that. And maybe then invest in some fun pieces that don't cost a lot of money.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Especially like trendy pieces that you can just, absolutely. I bet you those are the pieces though that you'll wear the most or keep for the longest, actually. How about you and I have a mission of learning more about secondhand shopping?
Yeah. Let's go shopping together.
Amazing. Amazing. You don't have to twist my arm. And speaking of like clothing and different, I mean, obviously there's different terms for, we mentioned sneakers and trainers, running shoes. You know, I always have to switch my language to trainers if I'm looking for trainers. But the one thing that really confuses me is, or trips me up, I guess, is so Adam, part of his uniform, he's got this like sweater vest. So it's like this wool sleeveless sweater that he puts over his t-shirt or his long sleeve shirt. Mm-hmm. And every time I ask, you know, whether it's his teacher or whatever, like, you know, does he need to wear his vest? But a vest is actually an undershirt. So it's like, it's underwear here.
Right.
She's like, and she actually said to me, I remember this specific conversation. She was like, it's up to you. It's because it's like, it's an undershirt. I'm like, oh, no, sorry. I meant pullover. They call it a pullover. I think there's another name for it. I think you'd mentioned it before.
Pullover is a sweater. I know that when I commented I saw a man wearing a three-piece suit, and that's not something you see every day.
Right.
And he looked really good. And I was coming from Silicon Valley where everybody dresses like in t-shirts and jeans.
Okay, right.
If you're lucky, like that's dressed up. So right. I really admired this guy, and I was like, wow, like I love that you're wearing a three-piece suit. I love the vest. And he also turned multiple shades of red because he thought I was talking about his undershirt. I found out from my friend that it's called a waistcoat. Here.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So if it's a suit, that layer is called a waistcoat. If it's,
good to know.
If it's a puffy vest, like a puffer vest that you would wear in the winter,
it's
called a gilet.
Oh, that's right. Gilet. And it's spelled G-I-L-L-E-T. So for a while we were calling it gillet. Oh my God. How embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow. Well, thanks for the chat, Raheel. And thank you so much for tuning in to our Pants Not Trousers podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like or leave a comment. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Or you can email us at pantsnottrouserspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @NotTrousers or on our Instagram page @PantsNotTrousers. Chat with you soon, Raheel.
Take care, Reach. Bye.
Bye.